Hey everybody, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. All right, so welcome to today's show. It's going to be a great one. Our buddy Kevin King is going to be here, and we're going to be talking about, this is going to be a general Q&A about what's happening in November, what to do for Black Friday, and it's always open to questions. So in case you don't know a little bit about Kevin's background, you got to check out I Know This Guy, the I Know This Guy podcast. It's got to be one of the best podcasts that I've had. And Kevin gets into everything from his lifestyles on the rich and famous, Michael Jordan, mafia experiences, models mangled by tigers, but survived, only a flesh wound. But it's really incredible. So everybody thinks that they know Kevin from Amazon. Wait till you hear his backstory. It's really great. So if you do get a chance, go over and check it out on I Know This Guy. Also, Kevin's been featured on, like I said, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Entertainment Tonight, and he's made it to papers like USA Today, Wall Street Journal. So, Kelsey, where are you? Hey, Kels. And of course, we can't hear you.
There we go. Am I on? I'm having a little bit of difficulty on my end on the computer. It's kind of frozen, but... I think it's all good, but looks like we have Angie. Hello, Angie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Angie.
So this is a Q&A kind of format. So if you have any questions, please put them in the comment sections, and we'll get to them as soon as possible. But before that, please, if you're watching right now, smash that like button, ring that bell. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If you miss an episode, you can always find all the full-length episodes and highlights on the YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar. So also, we are a podcast, so you can find us on Apple and Spotify. Just search Lunch with Norm. And oh, looks like Victor is joining us. Hey, Victor, how's it going?
All right.
Let us know where you're watching from. It's going to be a big episode. It's grown every single time we've done this, so maybe we can break a new record today, but...
I'm expecting we're going to break a new record.
It looks like the Facebook event is doing well. But if you haven't already, this is brand new to us, but we started a Facebook group. We put the link in the comment section already. It's right here. So you can enter that. There's a couple questions to enter. It's a private group. But yes, and Dr. Kaz is here.
All right, Dr. Kaz.
And I guess we'll just jump right into it.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it for me.
Perfect. All right. So before we get started, just wanted to let everybody know that we are broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. If you're watching a replay, skip it. Just get to the meat. Get to Kevin and I talking. And if you are watching on my profile page, you're missing out. Head over to the official fan page, which shows you not only the whole episodes, but highlights and videos. Okay, so I think, yeah, if we do have questions, usually when we have Kevin on, there's lots of questions. So make sure you put them over in the comment area. We'll try to get through all of them. If we don't, we'll answer them a bit later on. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Mr. King.
Hey, how you doing, Norm?
Good. Hey, before I get started, before I do anything... We have to swap out the gnome.
Oh.
And we have to bring in Kevin.
All right.
We started this tradition on I Know This Guy, and we have Kevin the dog. So he'll stay right here. You can only see the cigar, but, you know, this is Kevin.
That's cool. I love it.
So how are you, sir?
I'm keeping busy, man. Getting ready to take a little vacation for a little bit later today. Doing this for you, and then later today, going into the woods.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you going to be in your hazmat suit?
No, I'm not going to be in the hazmat suit.
Last time I saw a post, you were going out getting bread in a hazmat suit or something.
That was back in March. Yeah. I had to do that. That was just, I walked into a place in a full hazmat suit. Everybody was like, what the hell?
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, that was right when the first lockdown started.
Yeah.
I was like, I just got to do it.
Now, I just have to know, does Valnery have a fashionable Gucci style hazmat suit when she goes out?
She has several things. Yeah, several fashionable things. Has a fashionable face mask.
Very good.
Has a special little, looks like an astronaut helmet. If she wants to use it, yeah, she's got the latest and greatest gadgets.
Oh, that's great. Okay, look, we've gone from a crazy September. How have you heard, or what are your thoughts on Prime Day?
On Prime Day.
Yeah. Was it good for you? Did you hear good things?
Yeah, Prime Day was good for us. Sales were up about 400%, I guess, on our stuff. I've heard good things from a lot of people that it went well. It wouldn't surprise me if Amazon actually makes it a little bit later in the future. I think it's a good lead. It's a good start to the holiday season because sales have gone back down, but they're at a higher level right now. One of that's just Amazon, more people ordering e-commerce with the pandemic and everything. But it seems like a lot of people are ordering earlier this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how late November and all in December is, if it's a little bit more steady or if it's the normal rise, because I'm seeing a lot of people that are just kind of doing their Christmas shopping early just because I think some of that may be they have nothing else to do. Some of it is people are worried that Amazon might get too busy again and it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get stuff like was happening back in April and May. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting next 2 months. I think it's going to be good for everybody pretty much, but it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I don't think it's going to follow the traditional normal curve.
Yeah, we had a very mixed batch of experiences with this Prime Day, and I think probably 60-70% first day was okay. Wasn't where we were at before. And I know your product, and maybe at least the one product that I'm thinking about would just kill it during that type of promotion. But most of the stuff, man, maybe 100% growth, maybe a bit more than that. And then the second day just fell. And it was about 60-70% of the clients that we were working with that normally that you would see on Prime Day, 300%+. So
yeah, the second day for me was way lower than the first day, for sure. Yeah. Everybody seemed to be there on the first day and not so much on the second day. But that's when they've done that in the past. We've had lightning deals that have run like the day after, and they suck.
Yeah.
They're just horrible. So there's always a drop off. But yeah, day two this year was definitely lower for us.
Oh, now if we start taking a look at going to Black Friday and Cyber Monday, let's talk about that. So either working with fourth quarter or working with Black Friday, what can people do? What are you looking at that might have been a little bit different than the year before?
Well, the biggest one is the inventory controls. For I think everybody, it's especially if you don't have a very established product, if it's something you've launched in the last 6 months to a year where you're still trying to build that up. So that's one of the things that I've been working really hard on with some of my products are calendars. And so every year there's new SKUs. So I started in July I happened to hit right before they put this restriction in. I'd built the restriction came on a Monday. And on that previous Sunday, I'd built a shipping plan, which was for like 5,000 units or something like that. So I was able to get that in. But then we've gone through those. But I'm making sure that every time it fills a full case, another box is going in, just in case it takes a long time. Because sometimes it's taking, they'll receive it in a day or two, and then it takes 2 or 3 weeks for it to work its way through the system to be available. So having to game that a little bit this year.
Yeah, especially like with these restrictions that are in place, it's more important now than ever that your listing is properly optimized, really optimized, before it gets launched. And we just did a couple of launches over the last 2 weeks. And here's what, this is what we did. So it launched, we had 200 units we actually had 196. I don't know why, but we were lower than 200 on the one product. And we started to send traffic from Facebook over to the page. And then it was a landing page, we sent it over to Amazon. And what happened was we monitored this daily. There was a trailing, we didn't see any change for the first little while, but the second week we got going and all of a sudden it was like the doors open wide and we were just hitting it with just driving traffic from Facebook. We threw a few rebates against a few keywords and now we're up over 1200 units.
How'd you do the launch then? What type of daily sales volume are you targeting?
The sales volume, so it was a brand new product in a very tight niche. It's a newer niche. And we were hoping that we could get anything at first. We were looking at 2-3. The original way that we did it is we sent out between 1 and 2 rebates each day over a period of 3 or 4 days. Then we started to drive traffic over from Facebook, and those would only pick up, and they were high converting, but it was I think it was 4 or 5 organic sales. At the end of the day, over the first week, we ended up with about 10 to 12 organic sales a day. And then now the second week, we started with 20 to 30 items a day. And it's not a huge, it's a complicated product because it's not something that everybody goes out there. We've got to show that this is a product that some other people have, but here's unique qualities. It's a tough sell, but it worked. And
how are you managing did you have some FBM on that too? Because if you got to 20 a day, you're going to exceed that 196 pretty quickly.
Yes. We did. And we have Vandana. So she's monitoring the keywords every single day. She's monitoring the sales. And so we just put in a bunch. We saw that there was another opening for 722 items. We just sent them in as I got on the call. So there's the amount that they're allowing us to put in. And we take a look every couple of days to see if we can add more and add more. We want to keep that limit to its max.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's what's happening right now. We definitely added the condition so we can flip it over to FBM. And that was a lifesaver because what ended up happening was this product is number one. This is crazy. 1-1-1-1-1-1-2-2-2-2-2-3-3. We're just killing it right now in this with these keywords, and some of them are mid. I would say between 6 and 11,000 searches per month, but it's for a product that's kind of like the keyword. So there's no relevant keywords because it's a brand new product. There are relevant keywords, but it's not specific. So we have to kind of build that category, and hopefully we can turn it into a subcategory on its own. But we were running out of inventory, and we didn't want to jeopardize the ranking, so that FBM came in while we were waiting for new product to come into our 3PL.
How's your fulfillment cost on the FBM versus the FBA? Are you taking a hit on that?
We are. What we decided to do was match it, so it was free. But if they wanted expedited shipping, then there was a slight charge, whatever it was. But the initial shipping is free for regular service.
So you're taking depending on the weight and size, you're taking a pretty good hit.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, why not? And this is a consumable. Yeah. So it's a 30-day consumable item. So if I'm going to lose it on the first one and keep my ranking, then get them to come back over to FBM, then I'll do that all day long.
You guys subscribe and save on it as well?
I don't like subscribe and save. On the website, I'll put a subscribe and save on, but on Amazon, then I can't play around with the price. I keep getting these nasty emails saying that I'm outside of the perimeters of, yes.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. That's the way you got to do it these days.
Yeah. And by the way, and I'm telling people to do this, but they don't believe me or they don't do it. You came on, I think it was two episodes ago, and you were talking about switching over from UPS ground, switching your service by calling your UPS agent and switching from ground services with freight costs. And they're cheap.
It's a lot cheaper that way, isn't it?
I just looked at that 722 units that are going over.
Uh-huh.
And the price was unbelievable. Like, I actually went back to Van Den and I said, this is the wrong price, recheck. Because it was a lot cheaper than Amazon. You could get out of Amazon.
Sometimes it is cheaper than Amazon, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes Amazon's freight is still equal or better. But sometimes it is cheaper. Yeah. And especially for those that can't, if you have a product that Amazon doesn't allow you to, like hazardous goods, for example, Amazon doesn't allow you to ship that on their account. So you have to ship on your own account. And that's where it makes a huge, huge difference for a lot of people.
Hey, did you see, I got all sorts of panic emails on the weekend. Did you see all these suspensions?
This last weekend?
Yeah, on Saturday. It happened Saturday.
No, I didn't. What happened?
Amazon, it looks like they assaulted tens of thousands of sellers, and they got rid of people. Let's say that you had an old account, but you never used it. Well, they suspended those accounts along with your account that they could associate with it.
Huh.
So if your business had two accounts and like, you wanted to have two Amazon accounts, okay, they weren't linked. This is dormant a year. All of a sudden, it was suspended along with your active account.
Oh, wow. Under the same company names or under different company names?
Different company names. And it goes one step further. I was doing a bit of research on this. So all of these people that, and you know, let's say that you've got a pesticide thing that came in or something that blocked your original brand from selling. And so, great idea. I'm going to go and ask my friend to sell it, or I'm going to open up this other company to sell it under and just republish it. Well, those accounts got suspended.
Hmm. No, I did not hear that. I have an older dormant account. I haven't sold on in we got five Amazon accounts for five different businesses, all different EINs, different companies, different product lines, everything. But one of them hasn't sold on in 2 years, and it's still open.
Well, that's because Jeff Bezos knows you.
It could, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I had not heard that. It doesn't surprise me, but no, I had not heard that.
Yeah.
And luckily, knock on wood, it hasn't affected me.
Yeah, and who knows? Yeah, I mean, this is the information that's circling right now, but who knows if it's
proper. In the past, I did have Amazon shut down an account probably 6-7 years ago, 6 years ago on me. I had two different buyer accounts, and one of them had I was selling on one of them, as well as having it as a buyer account. And I had two of them because I was buying hard drives. I'm buying these 1 terabyte hard drives because we had a business where we were selling content on hard drives. So I was buying sometimes 20-30 hard drives a day off of Amazon because it's cheaper to buy it off of Amazon for back then 30 bucks a piece or something before then going to a distributor and buying them in bulk. So I was buying them in there, but there's limits. So some of these guys, Seagate or whoever, would say you can only buy 5 drives or only can buy 10 drives at a time. You know, they had quantity limits. And to get around that, I set up another account. And after about a year, Amazon did shut one of those down. Just got an email one day that said this account's shut down. You can't have multiple accounts. And I was like, gosh, dang it. So now I gotta buy this guy's for $30, and then I gotta go buy, you know, buy 10 of his because that's the max. Then I have to go buy the next guy who's $36. You know, and so I was able to get around it. It just cost me a little bit more money.
Yeah. The other thing that I saw the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to get your opinion on this too. So we had accounts that stayed normal. We had accounts that had subject matter removed. We had accounts that had subject matter removed, and there were bullet points that came up, additional bullet points. Have you seen that happen?
No, I've been hearing it from a lot of people and some of the students, like in Freedom Ticket, saying they don't have the subject matter. I've seen, I think Brandon Young was talking about how some of that's disappearing a week or two ago on one of his Facebook posts or Facebook Lives or whatever. And so I went and checked mine. All mine are still normal on all my accounts. So I don't know. Yeah, I've been hearing stuff that the subject matter is no longer, they're no longer indexing it. I have not personally gone to check that on mine to do a little test. I need to do that. But that's was one of the little secrets that used to post in there and would get you a lot of extra juice. And
yeah,
I'm being told that has been taken away. But like I said, I have not personally tested it on mine to see. But I need to actually do that.
Yeah. And with some accounts, so there's three different scenarios. Same, remove subject matter. Remove subject matter with extra bullet points.
Yeah, I saw someone. Yeah, I saw that. That I was doing some buying, and I saw someone had like 10 or I don't know.
That's
a crazy number of bullet points, 9 or 10 bullet points. Yeah. I was like, what the heck are they doing?
Yeah.
Because you can always try to get an extra one by using the fabric one or some others. You know, there's some little tricks to get a 1 or 2 extra ones, but this one had an excessive number, and I was like, what the heck? That would explain it. Yeah, maybe Amazon. I don't understand why when they roll this out, it's just not across the platform. I know there's different versions because I know of Seller Central and because they're so big, they must have people are on different versions. So that may be why it is. Because I remember when Amazon was about 3 years ago or so, they actually switched. They switched several. We're making you move from one platform to another platform. And when they did that, there was a lot of things that you could lose. Like a lot of people were losing their ability to have daily payouts. A lot of people were losing one platform. You got charged for returns. You got like a restocking fee. The other platform, you didn't. And I had one of the old school platforms that didn't have charges for returns, there's a whole laundry list of advantages. And I held out to the last minute because, on doing that, they were pushing for like a year. You got to migrate. And I was seeing these horror stories of people that were losing their daily payouts. And I was like, no way am I migrating until they forced me. And so they finally fixed that problem where you didn't lose your daily payouts and I had to migrate. But I think that may be part of why you see some people, some of it could be category based, but I think some of it is platform based. Depending on when you sign up, there's different versions of the software. Not everybody uses the same Seller Central.
I wonder what's going to happen with those extra bullets because, you know, right now I think people write too much in their bullet points, especially if you're looking at them on mobile. At least for me, you know, I'd rather see shorter, you know, hit the pain points, be extremely relevant, move to the next one. So you're more engaging. And, you know, you'll see some of these people write 200, 400 characters. And they do it to all 5, and it's just so much. Now you got 10, so we'll have a novel to look at.
Well, I don't, as a buyer myself, I hardly ever read the bullet points.
Right.
I mean, I look at the picture. I look at the price and the pictures, and scroll down to the A+. If there's some other detailed information, I might need. And then I look at reviews, obviously, as well. But bullet points, unless it's a technical item, I need to know if it's 12 volt or 15 volt, and it doesn't say in the title. Or whatever, that's probably the only time I ever even read the bullet points on any product I buy. And I buy We have 5 or 6 boxes come from Amazon every single day between me and my wife to the house.
No,
we order a lot.
It's your wife.
No, it's both of us. It's right. Both of us.
Okay.
I'm texting. But no, what's cool is though that we have so many come. You know, I actually have a swap file here at my desk of all the product inserts and seeing what everybody's doing. And, you know, we're getting letters in the mail from some of the sellers that are sending out letters after the fact. And, you know, so I can see what everybody's doing to try to get their reviews and try to get people on their list and everything. So, it's research. It's research, Norm.
Well, you know what? That's right. But that's one of the things that, like for your own competitive analysis, if you're selling essential oils or if you're selling whatever, plastic shoe stretchers, how do you know what the customer experience is going to be or the marketing tactics, you know, for these people if you don't order it yourself?
Yep. Yeah.
I tell my wife that for all my beard products, you know.
Yep. So and I Kelsey, do, I mean, oh, and I do, I, on that note, I mean, I've got over here, you know, we're about to launch our eco brand. We're launching a whole series of eco-friendly dog poop bags. And so I have, because what's on Amazon right now is not, there's nothing eco-friendly. They're advertised that way, but there's nothing there that totally biodegrades. We have a unique product with a patent on it that completely biodegrades. You know, it goes back to the earth, basically. Most of this stuff that's advertised, you know, some of the top sellers are doing millions of dollars. It's bullshit. They're using these terms as biodegradable when they're only partially, maybe 50%, and the rest of it stays in a landfill for hundreds of years. Or maybe if it is biodegradable, the only way is to take it to an industrial composting facility, which there's only a handful of in the United States. So it's a little misleading, but we have a true one. So, and doing that, I've been buying, you know, I have a lot of different dog poop bags here, because I buy up the competition to see exactly, you know, how they're packaging, what their inserts are, what their claims are. And so I, on a lot of new products, I do that. I do go and buy the competition just to see their entire marketing funnels and see their products, you know, hold it. And you get some ideas that way. And it's how am I going to write my bullet points and my descriptions to differentiate without, you know, I could go read their listing. But when you have the product in your hand, it's a lot easier.
And many sellers don't ever buy their own product, so they don't see how the customer is getting it.
No, they don't buy their own or their competition.
Right, yeah. So, Kels, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Do we have any questions?
Yes, we've got a couple. But first, let's give a couple shout-outs. We got Gary. He's watching while he's getting his Harley serviced.
Nice.
Marina is joining us from
Hey,
Canada.
Marina.
Angie is asking, she needs help with her growing Amazon business. She doesn't know how to find products. So Angie, if you have a specific question, just let us know in the comments and we can try and answer.
Yeah. And you can also go over to the group.
Yep. We've got Yarrow joining us.
All right.
It's good to see you.
How's it going, Yarrow?
And let's start with a question from Tony. Kevin, is it still profitable to ship smaller items like calendars from a 3PL if Amazon is out of stock?
Well, if you have the margin, it is. I mean, like my calendars are, we sell them for $19.95 is the retail price on Amazon. And my landed cost on them is about $1.50. And so then if Amazon's taking a 15% fee, they're taking about $3. So that leaves me with about a $13 roughly margin. Amazon fulfills those for, I think their charge is $3.48, $3.27, something somewhere in that neighborhood. But if I do it through a 3PL, it's about $9, eight to $9. So I do not make as much money. But yes, it's still profit. To answer your question, it's still profitable. It's still about a $4 or $5 margin there. So I'd much rather have Amazon do it than the 3PL, but if I get into a bind, the 3PL can do that, and I can still make a profit. It's all, you just have to have the margin. Or like Norm said, when you're first launching, you may not have the full margins, but you're going to have to take a hit just to keep the momentum going. It's just a cost of, I look at it as a promotional cost to launch, and in that case, like what Norm's talked about earlier.
Okay. Let's see. Victor was asking about the UPS freight.
So
go ahead, Kevin.
UPS, if you're shipping a lot of UPS ground, you know, right now with shipping into Amazon, if you ship by freight, if you call up one of these freight carriers or use one of Amazon's freight carriers, the big trucks, the big, you know, 53 foot long semi trucks, they come and pick up your stuff. It's taking a long time to get checked into Amazon. And sometimes those delays, you even get charged penalties. If it's not your fault, Amazon, these freight companies have to have appointments. So you ship your five pallets of calendars or whatever into Amazon. The freight company, say it's Yellow Freight or Central Freight, one of those guys, they have to have an appointment to drop that off with Amazon. Some of them have standing appointments, but they're shipping so many things, you don't know where you're going to fall. And each truck is different. And sometimes those trucks get an appointment within a few days. Sometimes I've had it take 4 to 6 weeks to get it checked in. And then if it's late, the trucking company starts charging you storage fees because it's not their fault. Amazon won't accept their truck to empty it. And there's all kinds of things that can happen. So what I started doing was shipping UPS ground, because UPS ground gets shipped in, gets into Amazon quicker. And so if you have the ability to use Amazon's service where Amazon bills you for the ground shipments, when you do a shipment, for a lot of people, that's the best way to do it. But for some product categories or in some situations, you need to use your own freight and ship it on your own dime. And if you just use regular UPS ground, even if you have a discount, you've called up and you have a volume discount of, say, 20, 30%, it still can add up quite a bit over compared to what if you used Amazon's account. But what you can do to get around that is if you're going to ship enough volume, you can call UPS, get a rep, and say, I want to set up a UPS. It's called UPS Ground with Freight Pricing. GFP, I think, is the short term, the acronym for it. So you want to set up a GFP. And then what happens is you ship out UPS Ground. You don't have to put stuff on pallets. You don't have to do any kind of special prep work like you would have to do if you shipped it freight. You just go through a separate little software module, and you ship it out at freight rates. So it goes ground, but at freight rates, and it's about a 90% discount. There are some limitations to it. It has to be at least 150 pounds going to the same destination. So if you don't have 150 pounds going to the same destination, you can't use it. And it can't be more than, I think it's 650 pounds. So you got to be between 150 pounds to 650 pounds. Now, if you're shipping a lot of stuff into Amazon, or you don't have to use it for Amazon, you can use it to ship to your 3PL or across the country. I have some customers that buy one of my products in bulk, some businesses, and our 3PL will use this to ship them, you know, 100 units or whatever the product. In bulk. But if your shipment is more than 650 pounds, you just have to split it up. So if your total shipment is 1,000 pounds, you'll have one that's 400 and 350 and one that's 650 or something. So it's no big deal, but there's some rules there, but it's dramatically cheaper than regular just UPS.
Yeah. And don't put it on a pallet.
Yeah. You don't put it on a pallet. Your driver just picks it up as they would any individual packages.
And yeah, they might be swearing at you a little bit if it's the 650 pound, you know, split twice.
All right. We just got a bunch of questions that just came in. So again, if we don't get to all of them in the episode, we started a post in the Facebook group where you can continue the conversation, any comments that you have. Or if anyone from the group knows the answers or wants to put in their opinions, you can all start the conversation there too. But right now we have Adriana. For launching, would you recommend doing PPC on low search volume keywords? I made a test campaign and most keywords are very expensive.
Yeah, when you're first launching, I would do PPC on everything. I would do low volume, high volume, automatic campaign. You just have to understand, you know, I think in the Freedom Ticket course, I say for most products, you should budget to lose $500 when you launch on PPC, just doing testing. Some products it's more than that. Some you can get away with less, but you're going to have to overspend to figure out what works and what doesn't work. Because in the beginning, you're going to be spending even more because you don't have reviews. So a lot of people that might see your ad, your PPC ad, click it, and might have normally bought are not going to buy because they don't trust you, because you don't have a reviews on them. That's okay. Some people say, well, should I just wait till I get some reviews? That, you know, that would be the ideal world. If you have the ability to get some reviews on there, I would do that. But if you don't have that ability, then I would not wait. I would just understand that it's going to cost a little bit more to get everything going, and those reviews will eventually come. So that's what I would say on that. And the low volume search keywords, there's nothing wrong with those. I mean, the volume of a keyword is not always directly related to how much people buy. So a lot of times, low volume keywords, there can be much higher conversion rates on low volume keywords. So a keyword that has maybe 500 searches, I mean, by low volume, I'm talking about sub 500. So something that has 500 searches might end up with 200 sales coming from those 500 searches, which is a 40% rate, versus a keyword that has 10,000 searches might only have 1,000 sales coming from that keyword. More sales, but it's only a 10% rate. So sometimes those low volume keywords can add up. And that's one of the things I look for when I am evaluating products, is how many keywords are relevant for this product. Something that only has 5 or 6 keywords that are driving most of the sales or that are relevant is going to be much more difficult to launch and get positioned for than something that has 50 or 100 keywords that are unique, you know, not just that have little extra words on it, but unique. And that's a much easier product to compete on, because you can find little opportunities in there that will allow you to start off small and then grow into those bigger opportunities.
So I've got 2 things to add. So finding what you're talking about, those keywords, I haven't seen the tool, if there is a tool on Helium 10. So I've been using Seller Tools, seller.tools, and that'll give you the information, exactly what Kevin's talking about. Search volume, you think it's going to convert, and you find out that it's a lower search volume keyword that's doing all the sales, and you can use it there. And they have the volume. If Helium 10 has that, do you know if Helium's got that?
No, Helium 10 doesn't do that. The way to do it is with Brand Analytics. You can I use a different tool that's from a private group. I use Helium 10 for a lot of stuff, but to get that exact, I can see exact sales. You know, this is not inside Amazon information from that, you know, some Chinese hacker got you. This is from a tool that uses Brand Analytics, and they figured out a formula on brand based on the Brand Analytics. That it's pretty complicated. It runs it through these different tests, and it gets like 5 different answers, but only one can be true. And it does it all for you behind the scenes. But that particular tool from this private group has the exact sales per keyword per week and per month. And it's probably about 95% accurate. So it's you have a few outliers there just due to glitches in Brand Analytics sometimes. But it's highly accurate. So I use that tool to figure out which keywords are actually making the sales. I don't know if that's what Seller Tools has or not, but Helium 10 does not have that, because that's technically using Brand Analytics in a way that Amazon doesn't want you to use Brand Analytics.
Oh, very good. Victor's saying, so the other thing that I like to bring out is, you were talking about, you know, turning on those auto campaigns. And auto campaigns, if you listen to Daryl Patterson when he came on a couple days ago, he was talking about auto campaigns aren't like they used to be. He's, you know, cranked up his auto campaigns, and they're some of the best performing campaigns out there right now, because now, as soon as Amazon gave you, like, there's 4 different categories, but now you can remove negative ASINs. By removing those negative ASINs, he's seen much better performance. And he loves auto campaigns, where they were okay before for research data, but it wasn't so, you know, it wasn't a great ongoing campaign. And he came on and he was showing, you know, where it doubled, tripled, quadrupled the budget. And he loves them. So just kind of keep that in mind. Take a look at auto campaigns, especially if you're watching older training, you'll hear to turn it on, but they don't get into, you know, how to use new automatic campaigns. And it's a whole different world.
And one thing that's working really good too is, and the PPC is video ads. Because you, if you are brand registered and have the capability to run a sponsored brand videos, video ads, I would highly recommend you do it. You don't have to go out and produce some slick video. You can actually, it can be a slideshow of your best graphics or best images. But those, there's less competition and they take up a lot of real estate, and those are performing really well for us. So I would highly recommend, if you're not doing that, you take a look at that.
Yeah, for cheap video, I mean, you can go to Animoto and you can do all that, but you can literally get a round table, light tent, turn it on, and just go to Fiverr or whatever to put information, you know, your five bullets and just, you know, bits and it looks great. You know, no shadows. The product looks well represented. But yeah, you don't have to spend tons of money on videos, although product videos look great.
Yeah, I mean, the product videos look good, and on Amazon, it doesn't have to be slickly overly produced.
Yeah.
And there's lots of tools out there that will take your images and basically make a slideshow set to music, and you can add graphics and all kinds of stuff to it that are really, really cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking up the name of one of them right now for you. It's a Biteable, BiteLe.com, Biteable.com. That's a great one to make videos for your sponsored brands really cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Now, Kels, more questions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we've got a big one from Marina. Any advice how to prevent Amazon moving my products to different categories? I have a minimum age 3 years specified. Nowhere in the listing I have a word baby. And Amazon keeps placing my products in the baby category. I open cases, they fix it, and a few weeks later, listings are in a baby category again.
That sounds like it's the automated tool is moving it based on some sort of relevancy thing. So maybe a lot of the keywords that you're ranking for or that you're making sales on, or Amazon's algorithm is seeing those as baby related, and it's just automatically moving you over there. What you can do is open up a ticket with the brand analytics, brand registry support rather than seller support, and ask them to say, can you please make sure I'm in the most relevant category for my product? And they can actually check that for you. And then you could ask them, can you put a lock so that I stay in that category? Now, they may come back and tell you it's this baby category they keep moving you to. And if that's the case, then that's going to be something in the algorithm on Amazon that's seeing you as that's where you belong. But the brand registry people might be able to help you a little bit more than seller support on that.
Okay. From Khalid, does the Amazon fees include shipment to the customer from Amazon warehouse?
Yeah, it's usually broken out as a commission fee, which is for most products is 15%. Some are 8, some are 12. It varies, but for the most products, it's 15%. And then there's usually a fulfillment fee, which is a packing fulfillment fee on top of that. It's the two of them together generally is between 20 and 30% of your product cost.
Okay. Let's talk about that for a second. Profitability. So you talked about your calendars, you know, you're getting them for $1.50 and you're selling them for, you know, $19. What do you think a standard, what do you think a new, or when you go and source a product out of China or wherever, US, where do you got to be profitable on Amazon?
So if a product costs less than $100, these rules are different for more expensive products. But if a product is less than $100, the absolute minimum needs to be 3x. Absolute. And that's not very good. I mean, I would not even consider a product, even looking a step further at keywords, unless I can do a 3x. Like with Product Savants that Steve Simons and I do, we source products. What I do is I actually find opportunities on Amazon using my tools and my intuition and my experience. I pass it over to Steve's team. He has a full team in China, full-time sourcing team. we have three people in Product Savants that they're dedicated 24/7. Not 24/7, but when they're in the office, they're dedicated every single day to actually finding factories for whatever I find. They find the factories, and they'll find a list of factories that can produce this product. They weed them out based on a whole number of criteria. They pass it back to Steve and I, and we take a look at it. And probably half of the products, we kill them. After that, they're a great opportunity on Amazon, but we can't source them with really good sourcers at the right price to make it work. So those products get killed, and we don't move any further on them. But a 3X is the bare bones minimum. Now, on something, and I won't do anything less than, I don't like doing anything less than $20 on Amazon. I mean, I have some products that are 10, but those products are very, very difficult to make money on unless you do extremely high volume. And there's too easy for other people to come in, and if they can source it for a quarter less, they can beat you. You know, they can kill you. So I don't like those products at all. So I look for a minimum 3X. 5X is much more optimal. So, and then like in the case of these calendars, it's like a 15X, which is like printing money on Amazon. But those are harder to find. And this is not a private label product. My calendar business, I mean, I have multiple businesses. I'm in every one of my Amazon accounts sells something different, but the calendar one is one I have that's out there. So that one, it's not private label. We create it from scratch every year with new imagery and new everything. So it has a brand name to it that people come back every year and buy. It's kind of like a consumable in a way. That one has a high margin, but 5X would be 5X and above for sub $100 products is where you need to be, because it's not only, you got to factor in your tacos, your total advertising cost of sale. It's going to probably be at least 10% for most stuff. You know, that's not ACOS. ACOS could be 40-50%, but your tacos are going to be at least 10%. So that's going to knock a chunk of change off. You got your fulfillment fees, depending on the weight and the size of the item, can make a difference on that factor. But just back of the math, rule of thumb, I would shoot for 5X or higher to really have the margins to be able to do what you need to do and to actually be able to make money.
Yeah, and you're saying conservatively 5X.
Yeah, so if you're paying $4 for something, this is landing costs. So this is not cost from the factory. This is after you pay the Trump tax. This is of 25%, or some products don't have one. Some it's 15%. It varies. But it could be up to 25%, and then duties, and then 3PL fees, and whatever other fees you got to get it in. That's your landed cost. So if your landed cost is $4, you should really try to be selling that for $20 or more.
Right.
But I see a lot of people have a landed cost of $4. They're selling it for $9.95 or $12.95, and I just wish them the best of luck. You know, unless it's something that's super lightweight that they can ship. You know, it's a piece of jewelry or some, you know, whatever, fake jewelry or something that's going to go out really cheap, and you can do serious volume on it, you're just not going to make any money. You know, I don't like to, I want things that can actually make money, not make me beer money, but make me money that can support me, and
Kobe that, steak money.
Yeah, that's right.
There
we
go.
Kobe steak money, not beer money. So that's what I look for. So those are just some general rules of thumbs. A lot of people just don't take into account all the costs that really are involved in tools. You know, Helium 10 has a great tool, the profit calculator, that's a part of the extension. Other softwares out there, but most of them don't factor in all the costs. Mm-hmm. So those are great for just real cursory checks, but you got to go more in detail once you dive into a product. Those are great for using to narrow your list down, but to actually pick a product, you got to go much more detailed than that.
Perfect. All right, Kels, next question.
All right, from Dr. Kaz, are you a fan of Amazon Live? What are your thoughts, boss?
I have not used it. I've heard some people that have had success with it. I think it's going to probably start getting more traction, but I personally have not used it yet. But I know some people that are, and they say that it's working well for them. I don't know how well what working well means, but I think it has potential.
Okay. And I think this is from our very first episode with you. from Yarrow. Kevin was about to start two projects for around 20 million, if I recall correctly. How are those going?
Not 20 million. I don't know where the no.
That was an annual projection, I think, for the one.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I think that might have been what the annual sales projection was. It's not what we started with. I have one right now that's 1.2 million is the cap is what is invested in it, and that's the one that we hope to get to about 20 million. That one is going well. It's got a few blips in it with some product quality issues. We had some product quality issues coming out of the gate that we fixed. So it took a little bit of a dive, and then we've had some problems with Amazon. Even though we have someone, a business development manager at Amazon that can help us quite a bit whenever we run into a problem, we don't have to deal with seller support on everything. We still have been had that product taken down 7 times in 5 months by Amazon's algorithms for everything from pesticide issues to a customer complaining that we were selling expired products to someone claiming that one of the ingredients that we're using in this product is not what it is. All bullshit, all totally false. But each time that happens, has happened, we've had to fight it, and it kills some of the momentum. And if the product is down for a week or 10 weeks, not a week, a week or 10 days, it's sometimes difficult to get that momentum back. One of those was doing $40,000 a day, close to $40,000 a day, is now doing about, as a result of all these expansions, about $2,000 a day. And so we have a lot of extra inventory, and but we've changed the product. We've fixed, listened to a lot of the complaints and the suggestions from the initial ones. We have a brand new version coming out next week, which will be under a whole different ASIN, and we'll get it right back up to where it was. But so we have a lot of stock left on this one that we're going to lose about $200,000 on just from markdown. So we're liquidating it out. Luckily, we just had a country's government, I think, from not the United States, but a different country's actual government. Looks like they actually may buy our entire excess inventory, and we're going to ship it down to a port on the East Coast, and then they'll take it from there. And so that'll get us out of that one.
Nice.
Okay. And Victor, I guess about your Freedom Ticket course, if we went through the Freedom Ticket course when it first came out and are now a lot more experienced with Amazon, do you feel there is a portion of the course worth going back to review?
Yeah, Giz, I don't know if you went through version 1 or version 2. Version 1 came out in 2017, and then version 2 came out last about a year ago. So if you haven't done version 2, I would highly recommend you go back through it. Not only is it produced a lot better, there's a lot of additional information. Some of it you'll find is similar or the same, but there's a lot of additional information. If you're referring to you went through version 2 in the last year, and you want to go back and revisit it, the later weeks are the better one, are for an experienced seller are the better ones. But I have, I've had lots of people say that they're already doing $1 million, $2 million a year on Amazon, and they know a lot about Amazon. They went through the course from start to finish and still learned quite a bit of things that they didn't know. That's made a difference in their business. So it never hurts to go through it again. But if you want to concentrate, I would go through this second half. Probably one of the best things that will help you is, I think, module 20.1 is a very detailed spreadsheet. It's an Excel spreadsheet you can download. It's got like 7 different panels and sheets in it that will take you through the whole product selection process and make sure you don't miss a single cost. And it scares a lot of people because they find products that they think they're going to make money on. They run it through there and they're like, something's wrong with the spreadsheet. It's telling me I'm going to actually lose $2 on this. How can this be? I'm buying it for $5 and I'm selling it for $16. Amazon's fees are only $4, but I'm losing money. Something's wrong with the spreadsheet. And like, no, it's not. It's based on the data you entered. What'd you enter for this? What'd you enter for this? What'd you enter for that? And so that one might be really good for you to take a look at.
And with free, and I don't have an affiliate code. You got to give me affiliate code. No, I don't take affiliate codes. So anyways, where you can get it now, because you used to buy it separately, but when you have a Helium 10, is it the Elite or is it just the Helium 10 along with it?
I think if you know, I'm not part of Helium 10, I just do the training, so yeah. I don't have any control over anything at Helium. I'm just a contractor that provides the Freedom Ticket and the Helium 10 Elite. But yeah, if you have, I think it's any level of Helium 10 software. So I think their base level is $97 a month, I think, or the basic one.
Yep.
And then you have access to Freedom Ticket for free. And you don't
there
have
you
to,
go.
You don't have to, or you can go pay $1,000 for it, but just get the software.
And just to be clear, we didn't pay Victor to ask that question.
All right. And this is our very last question, and we're at the 55-minute mark. So
all right. I think
it's a good spot to end. But hey, Kevin, my SB video CPC is like $3 per click. I am in electronic category. Your CPC for that is super low. Is there a trick to it?
It depends. You may. Well, that could be a couple of things there, Ankit. But I know at $3 a click, I think you sell some pretty expensive stuff. So that $3 a click still might work for you. I'm not sure, but it depends on how many other people are. You may have some other serious players that are trying to run video against you, and so that could be driving it up, or it could be the listing or the quality of the video. But my hunch should be you're probably fine there. My hunch would be is you have some other serious players in electronics that are trying to take that space. And they may not have your exact same product. Maybe it's a totally different product, but they're going after the same keywords. That would be my hunch as to why yours is higher. But if you're selling a $100 product and you have a $3 cost per click and a 10% conversion on those clicks, that's costing you $30 to get a sale on PPC. You probably have the margin to absorb that, because if you look at that on a tacos basis, that $30 per sale, if half of your sales are coming through PPC, that's a 15% tacos. That's not bad to help drive some extra sales and help keep your ranking up.
Okay, so I think that's it. Unless you have any other questions for Kevin. Hey, Kev, what about just a tip? Any tips for sellers going into, or we're already in fourth quarter, anything new that you can see? Anything, any tips or tricks?
Get your order, or a couple. One is, don't forget that sales don't stop in January, in December. January is a very good month too. So make sure you have your inventory. You're continuing to ship in inventory to be ready for January, because January is almost as good as November in most cases. And if check your inventory stock for the spring, because you have the Chinese New Year coming up and you're going to need to place your orders probably pretty soon. Otherwise, you know, if your factory has a 30-day production cycle, they're going to be closing down late January, early February. I'm not sure exactly when Chinese New Year is this year, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So you're going to need to have orders in probably latest early to mid-December, depending on your production cycle and their, you know, how long it takes them to make sure those get shipped before Chinese New Year. So keep that in mind as well, that you could have delays next year. And then I think there could be additional delays coming. As you can see, you know, Europe is starting to lock down, do some lockdowns. I don't think the United States will ever lock down again, but I think there may be businesses closed or things that are restricted or reduced, and that could affect everybody on supply chain. You know, even like right now, some of the PPE I just heard yesterday, N95 masks in the United States are starting to run low again. Which kind of surprises me, but the supply on those is starting to run low again. So you may start seeing increased shipping rates and stuff because going into the winter here, I think the situation in the United States is going to get extremely bad. We're already way up, and I think it's going to double or triple from where it is right now before it starts going back down on a regular basis. I think it's going to get really bad. So keep that in mind too.
I got you covered on the N95. Don't you worry. Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No.
I know you stop.
I enjoy doing these. And I know, you know, if you haven't listened to the podcast, you know, sometimes when I'm doing one of my other wearing one of my other many hats, you know, I don't have to think as hard. So what I do in the background is I listen to podcasts, and I've been listening to almost every episode now of I Know This Guy. And there's some people on there that I know, you know, I've hung out with them many, many times at different events. And I'm like hearing stuff for the first time, like, holy crap. I didn't know this about that or whatever.
Shane Oglo getting shot in the head.
So yeah, there's a laundry list of them. So if you haven't listened to that, it's some very fascinating, interesting stuff. And some of those speakers don't even let Norm talk. You know, he asks one question and he can sit back for drink his coffee and smoke a cigar and come back and ask another one. So, if you haven't checked that out, I would recommend you go and check that out. You know, that's what I don't listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm actually at my desk working, but if I'm in the car or if I'm going on a trip or if I'm in my warehouse or doing some sort of more mindless type of monotonous thing, podcasts are a great way to learn about this business and to get new ideas and to just hear what other people's stories are.
And Kevin the Dog is on every one of those I Know This Guy podcasts.
Well, I have a question. There's always a question at the beginning of every podcast. You come on and you say, what is that thing you always say? Your kids say something. I'm having a brain fart right now.
About ringing the bell?
Yeah, what is a bell?
What the hell's a bell?
What is that? What's
Kelsey?
What is that? My kids always say to ring a bell, and then you're like, "What the hell's a bell?"
All right.
What's the story about that?
So that comes from YouTube switching their subscription, the way they do their subscriptions. So when you go and you subscribe to someone on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button, but there's also this little bell beside it. And if you hit the subscribe button, you don't get everything from the channel. So some they can upload, but you might not see it on your feed. But if you hit the bell, then it's like another step to make sure like you get all the content from the YouTube channel. So a lot of
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of YouTube subscribers, they have to say like, "Don't forget to ring the bell," and Norm doesn't know what the bell is.
So. I didn't know either. That's what I'm saying. What the hell's a bell?
Ankit, this is a separate podcast from Lunch with Norm. This is I Know This Guy podcast. It's also available on Apple and Spotify. It's more about the lifestyle, like background stories of we've got like e-commerce sellers,
we got artists, everybody.
Special force agents, apprentice stars. We've got everything. So that's a completely separate podcast. It's not live. It's pre-recorded. But that's I Know This Guy right here. I can put the link in the comments too. But yeah.
Yep. And Kevin is one of the biggest downloads. So you got to check. It really is one of the best episodes that we've done. And it was great. There's so much background information. You just kind of scratch your head. I mean, I talked about Shane Oglo, you know, taking down bank robbers, a bodyguard, being in the Foreign Legion, getting shot in the head. I mean, these are things I didn't know that about Shane.
Everybody's got a fascinating story. You just got to pull it out of them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, buddy. Until December.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be back here again the first Friday of December.
That's going to be fantastic. So, sir, thank you for your time again.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
We'll be talking to you shortly.
All right. You know what I'm going to do this weekend? I'm going out into the woods, and I'm taking something with me.
See, Norm, I know what that is.
This box showed up at my house a few weeks ago. I was like, "What the heck is this? I didn't order this." I'm looking at trying to figure out the label, and I open it up, and inside's a nice little note and a beautiful cigar. And so I appreciate that, Norm. That was very kind of you to send that.
No problem.
And that's going to be enjoyed and over the next couple of days.
Well, you enjoy that. I just wish we could have some more cigars together. This is
it's coming. It'll be here. Another year.
All right. Well, enjoy it.
All right. Take care, man.
All right. See you later. Okay, everybody. So thanks a lot for joining in. This is always a fun episode for me and Kevin and Kelsey to put together for you. And, you know, if you do have questions coming up, like go into the group, just post them, and we'll be able to make sure that they get onto the podcast. All right. So I think that's it, Kelsey. Anything else that we haven't touched on? Oh, ring the bell, smash the bell,
smash the
yeah.
like.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't already, please like and share. We got a great turnout again this episode, but we're always looking to grow. So a huge thing that you can do for the podcast, if you love seeing it, is just press that share button. It just broadens the viewers who can see the podcast, who might not know about it. So yeah, or if you can think of someone in the Amazon sphere that you who loves Amazon content, just tag them in the video and see if they might find it useful. But yeah, our Facebook group, we started a discussion tab for the post comments. So if you do have any questions about the episode, Norm is there to answer some questions. If you have any comments, if you want to talk to anyone in the community, if you have a question, that's somewhere where you can post it. So I did post the link here. This is our Facebook group. It's Norman for our, or Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and E-commerce Collective. So join there. You need two questions to answer, or three questions, yeah, to answer to get in. And yeah, we're okay. Hoping to join a community, and yeah, it really helps. And we're glad to see everyone posting their questions and commenting. I think we did miss a question from Victor. So, you know, sorry, Victor. But
blame Kels. Don't blame.
That's on
it's me. On Kels.
Yeah.
All right. So just one other thing. We do have that newsletter that comes out every Monday. It doesn't suck. We've got tons of content. And if you want to learn very inexpensively, a matter of fact, free, to become a better seller, check it out. There's tons of information that we're trying to provide for you. And next week, a friend of both Kevin and I's, Wilfred Lightheart, is going to come onto the episode, and he's going to be talking about engagement and a bunch of other stuff. Anyways, if you don't know Wilfred, he is a guru when it comes to social media and SEO. So that being said, I think this is the end of the episode. Join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Eastern Standard Time at noon. See everybody later. Lunch with the